Welcome to the DTC podcast.
To, in a way, do your own thing if you choose to.
Welcome to the DTC podcast. I'm Daniel. This is Dr. Tom. This is Professor Steve. We're going to cover some common questions and lessons learned. Primarily, this comes from the forum in Dr. Tom's classroom where we get a lot of questions, and this is the opportunity for us to interact with participants. So when someone has a direct question, we're going to go on there if it's our topic area and answer that question specifically and directly to that individual. And we're going to try and share some of those lessons that we've learned from those questions. What are the kind of the broader picture? So as you're preparing for the exam and preparing for the review class itself, you can have these things in the back of your mind and be on the lookout for some of these problem areas that we've seen before. Dr. Tom, you want to kick us off?
Be glad to, Daniel. Be glad to. One of our first ones, one that hits me all the time, I get questions on, is units. I mean, Professor Steve and I, we have lists and lists of famous unit conversions that that people miss. Something may be as simple as inches to feet. You know, they can't get it because, you know, the number they were given is per inch, but the equation needs it per foot. And, okay, well, we need to not have some of those. There was one, what was the one I asked you about? There was a new units conversion that showed up in the latest version of the reference handbook. I had to call you to find
out. It's a boiler horsepower. And there was a unit that was contrived a long time ago. It was the amount of steam you needed to make the horsepower worth of work with an old steam engine. You know, think the days of trains running around the West. 34 and a half pounds, or 33,000 and change BTUs per hour. And if you do the math, it all works out to an HFG of 970, which is the HFG of steam at atmospheric pressure. So yep. There was a place where it was. So like a horsepower today on a motor. What's a horsepower? It was some horse that they used as a standard.
Right.
Same
right.
Thing here.
Right. Well, you just got that recently, that particular one, because it just did show up in there, and I had to call you in, and you only gave me the 34.5, so I divided that into the 34.370, came up with 970. I'm kind of going, what's 970?
That's familiar.
So I had to call him back. He said, oh, yeah, HFG, you know. So we struggle with it ourselves to make sure.
Absolutely.
If the units aren't right, it does not matter what the number is.
Correct.
And you got to be careful. The NCES practice exam solutions are not careful. In fact, they're right. Virtually missing in 90% of their solutions, and they've got numbers in there that you can't hardly figure out. Well,
there are unit conversions that should be put in there that aren't. And that's common for this type of thing, but you need to put those unit conversions in. You need to know that.
Yeah, I have an equation that's fairly straightforward without units, but then you've got one that's got, what is it, 1 point something?
Oh. Yeah, so the sensible heat of for air is 1.1 CFM delta T. And baked into that unit is a density of the air and CP of air. And there's a 60 in there for cubic feet per minute to seconds, yeah. Or to hours.
Yeah, whereas I would use just a regular equation and it would be valid whatever density. Yours is, that one has already got air in it.
That's right.
But that's not obvious that it's in it. So this is probably, to me, the biggest thing for people to watch is units.
Yeah.
If I wasn't Dr. Tom, I'd be Dr. Eunice.
Yeah. I like it. And it's so important. And what you're talking about is really on that front end, you're working the problem and you have all the numbers. And also, I'd like just to add to it on the back side of it, let's say you don't know how to start the problem at all. So you have no idea, and this is going to be a guess. And that's fine, because there should be problems on the exam that you're not even going to try and work, because it's not a 4-minute, 5-minute, maybe not even a 10-minute problem, it's a 20-minute problem. Hopefully you diagnose that and say, this is not a problem that I can work in a timely fashion. But if you look at what units is asking for, often you'll see, so maybe it's asking for feet, and maybe there's some of the things are given in inches. And so you may see some of the answer choices are off by a factor of 12. Maybe two are off by a factor of 12 from the other two. Well, eliminate the ones that are probably in the wrong units. Instead of now having a 25% chance, now you're 50-50.
Yes, right.
So now it's not just a completely random guess. You're cutting out, you're increasing your odds. So think about it. Even if you don't know anything about the problem, just start with the units.
Right.
And say, well, it's probably an inches to foot difference, that 12 difference in those answer choices. So pick the one that's going to be likely in the units. They're likely going to have two. So you're just going to be down to 50-50. Yeah. So pick the one that's likely in those correct units as a recommendation, building on those units as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Calculators. Two biggies. Well, maybe let you work on one of them. But the other one is pick a there's the list of allowable calculators in the exam has gotten smaller over the years. I think it's now kind of settled down. But there is a calculator that will be on the screen available to you if for some reason yours dies and you don't want to take the time to go out to your locker and get the one that you brought with you. So we would recommend that you pick that particular model of calculator and have a spare. And in that spare, use both of them during your review. And so that you know they both work. You're not gonna don't have one out in the locker that's still in its case, and you take it out, find out it doesn't have batteries, hadn't been charged. You know, so it's a solar calculator, right? But it's been in a drawer, right? Well, unfortunately, I don't have any sun in the drawers that I have.
Right.
So you know, you could, and I've had that happen actually with one of my others to have that happen. So you don't want to foil the exam because of your calculator.
Yeah, I tell my students all the time who are preparing for the FE exam, similar to the PE exam, that they need battle experience on the calculators. That's what I call it, battle experience. And so go ahead, get the calculator now, work your homework questions, work my tests, in-class tests with the calculator, and then that way you know how to use it when the time comes and to make sure that it works when you need it.
Yes.
Yeah, Professor Steve, adding on to that, I think what's really important to remember is that the results are roughly normally distributed, and so with the goal is to be above 70% and pass. So the majority of people are making between 70% and 80% on the exam. If you don't know how to use that calculator and use all the functions on that calculator and do it properly, the difference between this, you know, a couple of questions below that passing and a couple of questions above it likely is the calculator. Don't let that be a barrier for you. Don't let
That's
that
right.
be the hurdle that keeps you from passing. Is just, well, I didn't know how to do this equation, so I skipped the, you know, I just guessed instead of actually being able to work it out. So battle tested. I love
Great
it. I
point.
Love that. Yes.
Yes.
And learn how to use the calculator. Learn the calculator syntax.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The order of operations. You know, if you take some numbers and you just do what it says, 3 + 5 × 8, whatever, it won't do what you think. You may want the answer to be 8 × 8. But what you've just written in is 40 + 3.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not non-trivial. That's not like a little accuracy problem. That's a problem, a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of students have that. A lot of students have to convert radians to degrees and degrees to radians, especially in the torque equation for a shaft. You have the shaft. Well, the equation needs radians. But they'll tell you that it has a twist angle of 2 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there and put in 2 radians instead of 2 degrees. I can't tell you how many, you know. Oh, thank you, Dr. Tom, for that one. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and something else as well, it is the accuracy that you need. You don't need, as I tell my students, you don't need all the digits on your calculator to get the right answer. The exam is going to be written, the answer is most nearly this. And so if the choices are 1, 5, and 10, and you get 4.6, don't feel that you necessarily got it wrong. 4.6 is fairly close to 5, choose 5.
Mm-hmm.
So be cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look for, in those questions, the most nearly is the way that you're going to see it on the exam, and look for also for words of minimum and maximum, make
yes.
sure you have everything there. But if it's just most nearly, yeah, 4.6, that's 5 if the other answer choices are 1 and 10.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
The diagnostic is something else that we get a lot
yeah.
of questions about if somebody's coming to us to retake the exam.
Right, right. If they, of course, if they pass the exam, we hopefully hear from them. we're proud of our almost 90% pass rate.
We're
so
always
yeah.
happy to get good emails.
Good ones. But if not, we say, well, you will get a second time discount, but we want to see your diagnostic. And so you get the diagnostic, and I have over the years been pretty good at figuring out back, you know, re-engineering whatever. Well, they've now got it to where I have no hope of that. But just something I just noticed recently is that I've added up the number of problems in each one of the areas, and instead of being 80, it's 70. And I've kind of gone, what happened to the other 10? And I get another question, what happened to the other 10? Well, the NCEES says, well, there's some problems we have in there that we're testing. So you've spent time working on 10 problems you're not going to get graded on. Now, I don't know what to do about that. And, of course, their score is out of 15, 1 out of 15. You kind of go, what happened to 10? What happened to 1 out of 10, right? Mm-hmm. So they've made it very hard to help you figure out what you did. There's some bar charts and whatever to help you maybe identify some areas that you'll come back to. But the diagnostic is not as helpful as it used to be. It might tell you that it is, but don't expect it to tell you exactly what to do. We will be glad to help you with that,
yes.
with just trying to decide, have you picked the right exam? Have you done the right preparation? Have you done the right strategy? You know, passes.
Are there areas that you really need to focus on?
Right, areas there. Remember, you want to get through all the problems, even if there are some there that are extra, and make sure that you've looked at all of them once, finding the low-hanging fruit. I've had people that say, you know, I look at their diagnostic and older days and see zero in the ethics column. And I go, what happened? You got zero in the ethics? You know? Well, I didn't get there. I got stuck on problem, you know, 33, and I never got to the end. And I go, no, oh no. No, you got to get to the end because, you know, all the problems count the same.
Right.
Remember, you said that
another
podcast, right? All the problems count the same. The hard ones count the same as the easy one. Some of the problems we work in the course, I work them to show you how hard they are. So when you see them, you go, no, see, and then go on, right?
Right. Yeah, the multiple passes is so critical for that because you want to make sure you see all these questions. Sometimes the first one may be the hardest one.
Yes.
Worth the same number of points as number 40 that may have been an easy one.
Right.
So go through them, see all the problems, make sure you answer the easy ones especially.
Absolutely.
Keep getting them off the plate until you narrow them down. I tell people about, you know, by the time you get through the third pass or something, you may only have 10 or so left, but you got 30 minutes. You'd be surprised how smart you've gotten because you've got 30 out of the way because it's 30 and, you know, 40 yes. and 40. And so now you now just have 30 minutes to look at these 10 problems, and you can maybe get another couple, three.
And which one of these am I going to be able to get something
sure,
for?
Sure, exactly four. When you do it that way, you narrow down the big picture down to something that's manageable. Get that question all the time about the process.
Now, a question that I've seen multiple times, and I get this a lot, is, I've looked through someone will look through the full list in NCEES of what's possible to include on the exam. And then if you actually read that closely in the documentation, NCEES says they reserve the right to ask anything they want. It doesn't have to be on that. That list is not exhaustive. So they can ask you whatever. So one of the things we have to keep in mind too with the review class is we are trying, and we developed the course to prepare our participants for what's most likely and what they can solve on the exam. So the goal isn't to replicate your college experience.
Which took you 4 years.
Right.
You know, so what are you going to do in 20 weeks compared to 4 years? Right?
We can't collapse that into this time period we have, and it'd be too much time for anybody to complete anyway. So we have been deliberate about building a class that's highlighting the things you're most likely to see and the things that are solvable in a PE format, right? There's some questions and some topics that are very important to our fields and our areas, but that really don't work well on a PE exam that you're just not gonna see. And so we're not gonna cover things that you're not likely to see. And so that's part of like trusting the process, trusting the Dr. Tom method, and making sure that we're putting you in that good position to pass the exam. Not to ace the exam, not to relearn all of mechanical engineering, to pass the exam. That's the goal. We want you to walk out of there. You're not going to get your results of how well you did on the score. So I hope you'll send us the email saying, I passed and I think I made 100. Go ahead and say that because nobody can be able to prove you otherwise.
That's
what we want to get. We want to get that email saying, I passed and I think I aced it. I made them all. I got them all.
We actually get some like that.
Right. That's great. Yeah. And they may have. We'll never know.
Another big one is associated with the reference handbook. Yeah. Keywords. They talk about, I can't find this. I had one just a forum question the other day. I can't find, and I don't remember what it was, but it was some chart or something like that in there. I can't find out where that was. And so I went into the forum to answer the question form, scroll down, and they said, forget it. I found it. Thank you, Dr. Tom, whatever it is. But many times they can't, because you put in a key, what you think is a keyword, and you either come back with nothing, you know, out of the 540 mm-hmm. pages, or you end up with 200 pages right. of that one. I mean, you gotta be working at this reference handbook. I've printed out all the pages for each of the things and made notes on it. That's what I recommend. I know a lot of folks don't. It's CBT. We're in the computer mm-hmm. age, et cetera. No, I'm not going to print it out, you know. But I think that's a mistake, because you need to see the equations and see the kind of things that might be there and not know the keyword, but know where it is. And so that's another big question that we have, is referencing the handbook.
And it's a skill unto itself, being able to find the equations sometimes. And so you need that, just like with a calculator, battle experience using that reference handbook, taking practice tests, solving problems in the DTC course.
Yeah, well, we actually have in our course each week sheets that show the equations and encourage people to actually go and find where those are, and then some of them, of course, are not in there. But I've gone in there when we did the keywords part of the team, couldn't find it either. You had to know what page it was on, okay? And then you realize that the keyword is in the wrong spot. It's there, but it doesn't get you there. So, that's frustrating for folks, because there are people who are studying and they want to go find such and such and such and such, and they can't find it.
And it takes time.
Right.
And
right.
time is your enemy.
Mm-hmm. Right, mm-hmm. right. Now, one of the rules, too, is about trying to look into too much of a problem, like a 2-inch diameter pipe versus a 2-inch schedule 40. Is this a 2-inch schedule 40 pipe at 2.040? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding, okay? This is one I've had a lot, okay? And I put in there 2 inches to start with, okay? It's a 2-inch pipe. So people went and found a 2-inch schedule 40 pipe. That gives a different answer than if you use a 2-inch pipe, especially with the closeness of our answers. You know, we might use 2, 4, 6, 2, 3, 4, 5 as answers, and that threw it over to the wrong answer. Okay, but so I had to go back in and change the thing and say, okay, it's 2-inch schedule 40 pipe. Okay, it is 2.0 whatever, and it is C. So students can read into a problem. You know, we don't have to make the exam hard. The students make it hard for themselves, right? Because they read too much into it.
That's right.
Well, now, this would not work in industry. And you want to say, but you're not working a problem in industry.
Right.
You're working a problem on this exam.
So it's a different game.
They do not like that answer, but that's the right answer. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this DTC podcast, talking about common questions and lessons learned. We hope this helps prepare you for the exam, and looking forward to serving you and helping you prepare for the mechanical engineering PE exam.
Yep.
Thanks, Dr. Tom. Thank you, Steve. Professor Steve.
Dr. Tom's Classroom, your best chance to pass the PE.